Amen. Thank you, Judy. Very beautifully done. Turn your Bibles here this morning, Book of Proverbs, as we continue our series in the Book of Proverbs. And the title of my message here this morning is Walking in Integrity. Walking in Integrity. Verse 3 says, "The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of the transgressors shall destroy them. The deceit of the unfaithful shall destroy them." Join me in prayer here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love, grace, and mercy. And Father, I pray you bless your word to our hearts here this morning. Father, help me be a vessel that honors your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And Father, I pray that each ear that hears here this morning would hear your word and apply it to their lives in a way that honors you and blesses them. So Lord, thank you for your care and grace and mercy for each of us. And I pray here this morning as we still look into your word that you'd guide us through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Integrity. That is a word that we need to get our hands around. Integrity, walking in integrity. Verse 3 says, "The integrity of the upright shall guide them." Integrity. You know, what does integrity mean? It means that you are complete or whole. You're not divided within yourself. When you have integrity, the unit that you are is one whole, perfect unit, surrendered to God. Now, men, in our brains, we can compartmentalize. We can put a box over here and put stuff in this box. We can have a box over here and put stuff in this box in our mind. And we can compartmentalize things so easily. Women are like spaghetti. Everything's in one box. You know, when you talk to a woman, everything gets thrown in one box and you're just pulling everything out at the same time. But men can compartmentalize. When it comes to integrity, if you have a box that you put your work life in, and you have a box you put your relation with your wife in, and you have a box that you put your financial matters in, and you have a box that you put your dealings with people in, I can tell you right now, you're not a man of integrity. Because when you know God, everything, you're the whole person. You're the right kind of person over here, and you're the same person here, and you're the same person here, and you're the same person here. Because some people come to church on Sunday morning, and they put on their good Christian smile, and they put on their good Christian suit, and they're the good Christian on Sunday morning. But Monday morning, cut them off on the freeway, and you'll see what kind of Christian comes out of them pretty quick. Because they compartmentalize it. In other words, it doesn't matter to them that on Sunday they have to act this way because that's how a Christian acts at church. But on Monday, how do you act out in the world? See, for somebody that has integrity, they're the same morning, noon, and evening. They're the same. They're not divided up. You're the whole person. You're the whole person. Now, God is a Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible teaches. God is a Trinity. Is there integrity within God? Absolutely. There's integrity there. Because God the Father and God the Son and God, they're one. They're one. Now within you resides a mind, intellect, emotion, and will. You have three. Yeah. Do you ever see the fingerprints of God everywhere? God's fingerprints everywhere. There's threes everywhere. God's a Trinity, but there's past, present, future. You ever thought about that? There's height, depth, and width. Threes. Threes are everywhere in creation. That's his fingerprints. God's fingerprints are everywhere. And in your spirit, you have an intellect, you have emotions, you have will. And integrity affects all those areas. Integrity, it touches upon the whole person that you are. God is one. Verse 3 here of chapter 11, walking in integrity. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. Shall guide them. There was a young man years ago born in a log cabin. He would study his lessons by an open fire, reading. He came to be one of our presidents, Abraham Lincoln. And I like to share, as he read the scriptures and learned line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, as he read the Word of God, how did that affect his integrity? How did that affect him as a man? Well, Abraham Lincoln is a member of the Illinois legislature, and later into law practice, he took advantage of his reputation for honesty. He had a reputation as honest what? Abe. Why would he do that? Well, one time he's working at a clerk in a store, and somebody made a purchase, and he gave him his change, got a pocket left, and Abraham Lincoln looked later and realized he had shortchanged that guy. So you know what he did when golf worked? He walked all the way to that guy's house, and I don't know how much he was, but he said, "Sir, I mischanged you. I'm sorry. I owe you this." And gave it back to him. You don't think that didn't talk in the neighborhood, that he went way out of his way to make sure he got the right change? I remember years ago, I was talking to a lady, and she said, "Mr. Andy, the Lord blessed me today." I said, "How'd the Lord bless you today?" "I went, she's talking about buying something in the store, and the clerk gave me a $10 bill too much back." That's exactly what she said. I told her, "You need to go back to that store and give that $10 back. The Lord didn't bless you with that." Do you ever see how things get mixed up sometimes? Do you have integrity? Well, his good name and reputation, Honest Abe, for fairness, it helped him win 4 consecutive terms in the legislature in Illinois. Lincoln soon moved to Springfield, Illinois, and began his law practice, a profession which he admitted there was a popular belief that lawyers are necessarily dishonest. Now, have you deal with lawyers? That you in the courtroom, you're supposed to tell the whole truth and nothing but truth will help you God. I think the lawyers could learn a little bit from that sometimes. Because I heard one man said, "Oh, my son's going to law school," and the friend he told it to says, "Oh, he's going to learn how to lie." I see. That's what law school would do to you, son. It teaches you how to lie. But you know what Abraham Lincoln said? It's a popular belief that lawyers are necessarily dishonest. His advice to potential lawyers was, "Resolve to be honest in all events. And in your judgment, if you cannot be an honest lawyer, then be honest without being a lawyer." See, you know what he's speaking in his heart? You hear that integrity, don't you, coming to the surface. Choose some other occupation rather than one and choose in which you do in advance, consenting to be dishonest. Don't be dishonest. If you're going to be a lawyer, be an honest lawyer. Don't be a dishonest lawyer. And there was a judge named David Davis, whose court Lincoln practiced for many years. And this is what he said about Abraham Lincoln. He said, "The framework for Lincoln's mental and moral being was honesty, and a wrong cause was poorly defended by him." Another judge who had worked with Lincoln agreed, saying, "Such was the transparent candor and integrity of his nature that he could not do well or strongly argue a side or a cause that he thought was wrong." Do you hear what that's saying? See, some lawyers, they know you're guilty. They know you're guilty is guilty. But you know what they'll say? "I'll try to get you out of jail." How do you argue a case like that when the lawyer knows the defendant's guilty, but he's going to act like he's what? Not guilty. Would you take a case like that? Do you have integrity? And Lincoln was a good man. If you ever study his life, he was a good man. Verse 3, the integrity of the upright shall what? Guide them. You know, do you ever think about things that might happen? Do you ever play them out in your mind? If this happens, how I handle this? If this is said, how I plan? You ever just think ahead? Do you ever make moral decisions ahead of time? You know, integrity, when somebody has integrity, it is almost like they've been tested. See, integrity carries the idea that you're this complete person and you're being tested sometime at your point of what you believe. See, when you really believe what you believe, it's going to be tested. And when it's tested, what's going to come to the surface? Because if you're a man of integrity, you've already made a decision about the decision before the decision. A man of integrity is going to say, that's married, I'm married to that woman, and all others are unavailable. That's a man of integrity. They're going, I'm going to honor my wife as my wife because she's my wife, and all others are unavailable. I remember hearing a Christian counseling session one time, and this call-in person was talking to the counselor, and she worked in an office, and this man was married, and they were, you know, getting to know each other. And the lady called the counselor saying, I don't know what to do. I love this man, but he's married. And she was getting counsel. What does she do? And I just remember the counselor said back to her, this lady, he goes, what part of unavailable do you not understand? What part do you not understand about being unavailable? When somebody's married, they're unavailable, period. And people of integrity, they know these things, and it's in them. Verse 3, the integrity of the upright shall what? Guide them. See, what we want to do is have this area of integrity down. Because you know what Satan's going to do? He's going to put that temptation out there. Now, Satan, he can size you up, and you think you're a strong Christian. And you know what he'll do? He'll just nudge you this much to compromise. See, he doesn't want to make you compromise a mile at the first time, but he will take and just nudge you this much. If he can get you to compromise this much, see, a man of integrity is not going to compromise. What is true is true. And we need to be strong in our beliefs because the integrity of the upright shall what? Guide them. What we want to do is live a life that pleases God. Now, our God is a God of integrity. When God says something, does he mean it? He does. God can't lie. We looked in Sunday school, life of Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant. God gave these promises to Abraham. We look back and see, yep, it worked. What God said happened. Integrity. Do we believe what God says, what he says? Because God is a God of integrity. He's not going to lie. He's not going to lie. Now, speaking of God's integrity, God set up the law of gravity. Does it work here in America? Does it work here in South America? Does it work in the Philippines? Does it work in Hawaii? Does it work in Australia? Does it work in Russia? Does it work all around the world? It does. You take the laws of nature. You tell me where gravity's ever failed. It won't. God's ordained these laws, these natural laws. If the natural laws never fail, God's spiritual laws aren't going to fail. That's the standard. You know what he wants? He wants integrity from us. He wants us to stand in the circle. Now, what does Scripture say here? Verse 5, the righteousness of the perfect or the blameless. The righteousness of the blameless shall direct his way. You want to stand in the circle of the righteous. Now, are people of integrity perfect? No. If you're a man or a woman of integrity, you're not perfect. God doesn't want, know that, God knows you're not going to be perfect. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. for all of sin to come short. But you're going to stand in that circle where you're saying to God, God, I want to be righteous. See, that's the difference. Some people stand in the circle of the wicked, and yet wicked people can do righteous things because it's profitable for them. There's wisdom in living morally, but that doesn't mean that they have a heart of integrity. A heart of integrity says you stand in the circle of the righteous, God, I'm trying to do right. It's not that you will always do the right thing. What if you make a mistake in your integrity? A man of or woman of integrity, when they make a mistake, they make it right. So that's what they do. You make it right. You're standing in that circle. This was wrong. I want to make it right. It's like Abraham Lincoln. He gave the change back because he was standing in that circle of the righteous. I want to be a righteous person. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. When you walk in integrity, you're saying to God, I want to do the right thing. I'd like you to turn the book of Daniel here for a moment. And I want you to look at a man that stood in the circle of the righteous. Now, I don't know if you've looked at this story in the light of this. Daniel chapter 6. Darius had taken over the kingdom. And when Darius, in verse 1 of chapter 6, he took over the kingdom. He's got this huge area to rule. And he decided, I'm going to set 120 governors, so to speak, over the land that should help me. And into verse 2, and the king should have no damage. Okay. That is just a way of saying the king didn't want to suffer loss because you know what? Some people don't walk in integrity. They're wicked people. And the king wants to set up his kingdom where there's people that will help him not suffer any loss because there's people that are not honest, they're not true, they don't keep their word, they lie, they steal, they don't follow the king's commandments. He didn't want any damage, any loss. He was trying to set up a government that would work. And now Daniel's there. Daniel was a Jewish person. He's living in a pagan land. They didn't know God. But you know what Daniel did? He kept his integrity. He was preferred above the presidents or the other governors, so to speak, and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. He's standing in the circle of the righteous. And the king thought him to set him over the whole realm. You want to get wicked people upset at you? Just live righteously. Just be a righteous person. And they'll get mad at you. And you know what you've done? Absolutely nothing. But because you won't play the game, like men's Bible study. Tony Evans told this story. He worked at Trailways bus station. And they would go to lunch break and clock out. And they would sleep. And somebody else would clock them back in. And they'd take an hour or two sleep. And they came up to Tony Evans and said, this is your day to sleep, and this is when you, how we're going to do it, and I'll punch you back in. And Tony Evans, as he's going through seminary, said, I'm not playing your game. I'm not doing that. You know what all the guys did? When the bus came in, they'd all take a break, and Tony have to unload the whole bus by himself. They're getting back at him. See, when you're a man of integrity, you're going to do what's right even if it hurts. And Daniel, He lived in a pagan land, and yet he was living right. And what was his testimony? He had an excellent spirit was in him. Well, verse 4, all the other presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel. They didn't like this guy. You know why? They showed him up, and he wouldn't play their game. You don't think in political corruption there's not some backroom deals going on? Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, we read what we read in the news, but there's probably a lot of backroom deals being cut we know nothing about. That's dirty politics. Somebody called it a swamp. I won't mention any names, but that's what they called it. And they could find no occasion against him. He was a man of integrity. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault in him. I challenge you, be a man of integrity. You have that testimony. You live for God. You said, when I say something, I'm going to do it. My word is good. If I say I'm going to be over your house on Tuesday, I'm going to be there on Tuesday. If I can't be there on Tuesday, I'm going to call and let you know I can't be there. I'm just not going to show up and not tell you. You know, we keep our word. Integrity. I'm completely given to God. I'm a whole man of God. Well, they couldn't find any fault in him. They got a plan. Concerning the law of his God, verse 5, except they find it against him concerning the law. They knew he was so faithful to God. And they said, well, Daniel's not going to do something against God. What does he do every day? Oh, he prays every day. Ah, now we got a plan because we know him. He's not, we got him. We got him. And so they cook up this plan and verse 7, King, together establish a royal statute to make a firm decree that whosoever would ask a petition, pray to any god or man for 30 days, save thee, O king, he shall be cast in a den of lions. They set this trap. King said, yeah, that sounds good, because it kind of puffed up the king's ego a little bit. Yeah, I'll be like a deity here. And he signed the writing. But see, where does your integrity kick in? Look at verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed. See, when you're a man or woman of integrity, when the pressure's on you to what? Compromise. Compromise your conviction. Compromise your beliefs. Compromise. When that pressure is put on you to compromise, who will know? Who cares? It's not a big deal. I mean, all these things Satan throws at you. Now, what could have Daniel done? Could have gone on vacation for 30 days. I'm going to the mountains. See ya. He could have just not prayed. Who would have known? Could have hid? How did Daniel handle what he believed in his heart? Now, he's standing in the circle of the righteous, God's almighty God, and he owns me, and he loved me, and gave himself for me. What did Daniel say as a man of integrity? Now, when Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went into his house, just like he always did. And his windows being open in his chambers toward Jerusalem. What was in Jerusalem? That's where the temple was. That's where his forefathers lived. That was the land God gave to Abraham. His heart was, I'm going to be true to God. I may be in a foreign land, and I may be in a place that's far away from Jerusalem, but that's where my heart is. He kneeled down upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave what? Thanks. That's a man of integrity. When the pressure is against you to compromise, you ever heard this saying? When you're in Rome, do as what? The Romans. But when you're in Christ, you do what Christ wants you to do. And you don't compromise. And I tell you something, when you start compromising, whoop, whoop, little by little, you let the months and years go by, and you may have been here in your Christian life, and you can be way over there. And when it crashes, your life crashes around, you're going to wonder, how did I ever get here? Because you weren't a man or a woman of integrity in your heart. You didn't draw that line. You didn't stay in that circle of righteousness. When you did make a mistake, you didn't make it right. You just went with the crowd. Daniel, he gave thanks before his God. Aforetime. Trap set. These men assembled. You don't think Satan works behind the scenes in the events? These men assembled, found Daniel praying. And they were probably so happy. We got this guy. He's done. Praying before his God. Went to the king and accused Daniel. king had no choice, laws and Medes. You know why the laws of the Medes and Persia couldn't be changed? Because they were looked at as gods. And guess what? In their theology, they say gods don't make a mistake. So if you make a decree, it can't be wrong. That's why we can't change it. That's why they look for 30 days, you know, we're going to pray to you, O king. Well, the king realized he wasn't very smart at that moment. Daniel was his top choice. All of a sudden, he was a fool. He wasn't a king, a god. He was a fool. Verse 14, the king was sorely pleased with himself. And you know the story. Daniel's thrown in the lion's den. God delivers him. But look at verse 22. This is his testimony. A man of integrity, verse 22. When the king came in the morning, he said, verse 20, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, for they have not hurt me. For inasmuch as before him innocency was found in me. And before thee, O king, I have done thee no wrong or no hurt. That's a man of integrity. See, you know what's right and wrong. And when your integrity is being challenged and you're put in a box, what you want to do is end up that you don't hurt people and you don't offend God. You do the right thing. Because Daniel had that, God, I haven't done anything against God. I haven't done anything against you, O king. See, what does Proverbs say here? What does Proverbs say back here in verse 3? The integrity of the upright shall what? Guide them. Guide them. It'll get you where you need to be. And all these men that accused Daniel, they ended up in the lion's den. And it said the lions break their bones even before they hit the bottom. Did integrity guide those men that accused Daniel? No. Their fate was not a good fate. Integrity. Are you more concerned about what people think about you than who you really are on the inside? What people think about you is nothing more than your reputation. But your character is what you are on the inside. Reputation can come and go with people, but your character never changes if you're rooted and grounded in Christ and who He is. God wants us to be men and women of character, and then within this character, to have integrity within our lives. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. Look at verse 1. When you have integrity, chapter 11 of Proverbs, when you have integrity, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. In your business dealings, you're going to be honest with people. You know, the old cartoon, the car salesman is telling the person, a little old lady used to own this car. She only drove it to church on Sunday. It's a perfect car for you to own. And in the back seat, he forgot to take the racing helmet out of the, you know, the drag strip car. You know what I'm saying? The guy drag race down the street. You know, in your dealings with people, you tell the truth. You have an honest way. You don't deceive people. That's what integrity does for you. You don't want to a false balance. Why? Because it displeases God. You're going to let your yes be yes and your no be no. If you're a man of integrity, verse 2, when pride comes, then comes shame. You're not going to walk in pride. You don't care about what people think about you. You care about your relationship with God. Am I pleasing God? Am I doing the right thing? You know, you give yourself to make riches. You know, there's so many people that have sold their soul to the devil, so to speak, to make money. I have read story after story, and I don't have any particular band in mind, but I've just read stories about some of these rock and roll bands. You know what they do? They pray to the devil that they could have a number one album. They just give their soul to the devil. They say that because riches is what they're after. But guess what? Verse 4 says, riches profit not in the day when God's wrath comes and he punishes sinners. What is all your money going to do for you? It ain't going to do a thing for you. But you stand in the circle of the righteous, but righteous is delivered from death. God's going to be with you, and he's going to take care of you and give you a home in heaven. See, when you're standing in the righteous circle, not the circle of the wicked, verse 5, the righteousness of the blameless direct his ways, but wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. When a Christian man or woman fall in the Christian faith, that's a tragedy. There's a lot of reasons why that's a tragedy. One, it hurts that person who doesn't walk in integrity. When you have integrity, even if you suffer loss, you're going to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. When people fall and they don't live in integrity, have a life of integrity, they hurt themselves, they hurt those that love them, they hurt their community of believers, they hurt their church, and ultimately they hurt their Lord because they dishonored God. And they've taken God's holy name and drug it through the mud. There's a verse in the Bible that says, take heed how you stand, lest you what? Fall. We need men and women of integrity. They're going to do what's right because God says it's right to do. Not because it's culturally correct. I want to be biblically correct. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be politically correct. I want to be biblically correct. I'm going to stand for what's right. And sometimes trying to sort all this out, I mean, a lot of these verses here. Verse 9, a hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor. A man of integrity, a hypocrite says one thing and does something else. A man of integrity is going to be the same person day in and day out. He's going to treat people fairly, going to speak the truth in love, going to live a righteous life. A hypocrite manipulates people. A hypocrite is somebody who says one thing and does something else. A person of integrity doesn't live like that. You might say, Pastor, I'm struggling with integrity in my life. What do I do? Verse 14 says, where no counsel is, the people fall. Sometimes if you're struggling with integrity, there could be a lot of reasons you don't even understand. But what you need to do is surround yourself with people who stand in the circle of righteousness and can show you the good and right way to live. Because some people fall because they don't understand life, they don't understand their wicked heart, they don't understand their past, how it's influencing their present, and they've got strongholds and they can't break out of them, whether it's drugs, whether it's alcohol, whatever your bondage is. People are there. And sometimes people get counsel, but they don't take it because it means they have to change, and they don't want to change because they love their sin and they're stuck. But it says here, where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counsel, there's safety. And that's how people get deliverance and they get help to be a man or woman of integrity and in doing the right thing. Why don't people make things right? Because you know, if you've done somebody wrong and you've done something wrong, you know what you have to do to make it right? Humble yourself. You have to say, I was wrong. And you know what? Some people won't do that. And they'll never get to that place where they're a person of integrity because you won't humble yourself. And God promises, if we confess our sins, he's what? Faithful and just, forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A man or woman of integrity. In closing here, I'd just like to share a short illustration I heard this week of integrity. Chuck Swindoll, Insight for Living. Some years ago, this is back 2011, I think, he shared an illustration. On a Saturday night, he was getting ready to preach on Sunday. Somebody told him this story. He thought, wow, that's a good story. It'll go right with my sermon. He used it, and only to come find out later, the illustration he used was not factually correct. There was some truth in it, but it was wrong on a lot of major points. And the person that told him he thought was reliable turned out that it wasn't a reliable story. That bothered him. It bothered his wife. Chuck Swindoll said his wife spent 2 days writing out a letter to explain to people what happened. Everybody that downloaded the CD, everybody that purchased the CD, he went to everybody, he sent them a new CD, everybody that was affected by that message, he went to them and tried to contact them and told them what happened and how he was misled about this illustration. This wasn't true, and he wanted to make it right. Why did he go through that effort? Because he wanted to be a man of integrity. And because he said something that wasn't true about somebody that he was told it was true, he wanted to make it right. You know, I appreciate somebody like that, because he said insight for ministry, I wanted that so people can trust what I say. And if you give the devil an inch, guess what he's going to do? He's going to knock you down. You know, this week, if you have messed up somewhere or said something or did something, make it right. That's being a man or woman of integrity. What does verse 3 says? The integrity of the upright shall what? Guide them. And it's going to get you through life and get you where you want to be. Let's pray here this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this passage we've looked at, for being men and women of integrity, God. And Father, help us to do the right thing in the right way, with the right attitude, at the right time, with the right results, because we serve a righteous God. Lord, may we stand in the circle of the righteous, not the wicked. God, may righteousness matter to us, God. May we be men and women of integrity and do what's right. May we walk in integrity. And Father, you promise to bless those that honor your word and to honor your Son. And Lord, you're a God of integrity. May we be like you. And Father, may you honor us as we honor you, God. So Lord, bless us toward this end. May we be men and women of integrity, and we'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.